halfway there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to say good morning, church. Good morning. It's good to be back. Praise the Lord. This morning, I'll be sharing my testimony. What I went through has been 9 weeks since I came from the hospital, you know, through the hospital to today. 9 weeks. And before I touch on that, yesterday, for the past 2 days, my wife and I have been watching testimonies of churches overseas. And one of the testimonies was in China. One was in Romania. And this pastor, I can't remember what country he was from. And I'm going to begin with him. He was put in prison for so many years. How many? 6 years. And they didn't want him to pray. And the only thing that will keep him was prayer. And he will pray every day. That will sustain him. And the guard will peek through the hole and see him praying, open the door and beat him and beat him and beat him and say, "Where is your God?" And the guard will come back again and he will pray and pray. Finally, they tied him to a table and beat his bottom of his feet till he couldn't walk. And he will pray and pray. And one day the guard came in and said, "Where is your God? Why you continue praying?" And he looked at the guard and said, "I'm praying for you." That guard became a born-again Christian. In Romania, that was him from Romania, right? In China, this young lady, she was like 23 years old. And she was with the underground church. And they came and arrested her at her house. And she was reading the scripture, "Do not fear." And they took her in and they wanted her to sign a confession to rat on the rest of the Christians, the underground. And she would not sign. And they beat her. They beat her feet. They had her in chain. And because they wanted to keep her up at night, they made her walk all night in her room. And she would walk and walk all night, but the guards watch her. And the blood of her feet will mark the trails that she was walking. And as she walked, she could see the blood. And it reminded her the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that he poured out while he was walking to with the cross. And I said to my wife, "Look at the struggle they go through to become a Christian." A woman, I believe, in Turkey, in Syria was, when the warplanes came in and started destroying them, the Muslim began to kill the Christians. And God spoke to her heart and said, "Are you willing to give your life for me?" And she said, "Yes, Lord. I give my life for you." And then he asked her, "Are you willing to give your husband life for me?" And she said, "Yes, Lord." And the most difficult question that the Lord asked her is the precious gift that he gives us. "Are you willing to give your children for me?" Her and her husband prayed and fasted. And they answered the Lord, "Yes, Lord." And one evening they came in and kill the whole family because of being a Christian. Over in these countries, when you say, "I am a Christian," you just sign a death warrant for you. But their faithfulness, how they trusted in God, really took me away. And here in America, we have beautiful churches. Beautiful sanctuary, beautiful fellowship with one another. But we haven't tasted persecution yet. when it comes, are we willing to say, yes, Lord, I give my life for you? This morning, I want to thank the body of Christ here at Hudson Valley Christian Church. I want to thank you for all your prayers and all your love that was outpoured upon me and my family. I want to thank you for the fellowship that the guys went out and spent time with me. I want to thank you for all the cards that I still read today. I pick up a card and read the encouraging words that you sent me. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you, church. Because that carries us through our difficult time. When our brothers and sisters come together, encourage us. The meals that were prepared for us. I lost 10 pounds at the hospital. I must have gained 10 pounds back. Praise the Lord. I want to thank you. Thank you for your love and your support. It speaks volume. Sometimes when we go through crisis in our lives, the Lord knows what we're going through. When I was in the hospital, I know what Paul offered up his sister's place. And I had a family that I don't even know. Don't know them today. They gave the keys to the house. They said, if you need it, your family can stay there. That's the provisions of God. That's the provisions of God. A family that I didn't even know, don't know today. Said, we're going on vacation. Here's the keys to my house. Only the Lord can do those things for us. It's only His love can do those things for us. As I said, I read the cards, even to today. One of the cards says, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Another one read, the Lord loves never ends. His mercy never stops. They are new every morning. The other one card says, by whose stripes you are healed. And the other one says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He fills my life with good things. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me and for you. He fills our lives with good things, even in difficult times. Even in difficult times. I was reminded as I read the scriptures when Jesus fed the 5,000 and the disciples were there. And He sent His disciples away and they got on the boat. But the Bible says that Jesus dispersed the crowd and says He went up to the mountain to pray. And when the disciples got out far enough, they began to struggle because a storm came. And they were struggling. But when I read those scriptures, I never read this. It says that Jesus saw them. Jesus saw them struggling. Jesus sees us when we're going through the storms, when we're struggling. But then the word says that He came and walked on the sea to them. He comes to us in our days of trouble. He comes to us and comforts us in our time of need. This morning we sang, He's a good, good Father. He is a good, good Father. Because He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And the beautiful thing, He became obedient to that cross. Obedient to the cross. I believe I shared this once before. There was the God man and the Son of God in the Garden of Gethsemane. The God man said, if it's your will, Father. But the Son of God said, I will go. Hallelujah. And he went for us. He went for us. When you have a near-death experience, you begin to view life in a different lens. In a different lens. Things that was that important is not important no more. The material things gets less important. We come to a place that the arguments, it doesn't bother us. It's not important. The important thing is that we have a relationship with Christ, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I begin to share my testimony. When we was away on vacation, on July 25th, Wednesday evening, we was getting dressed to go to dinner. And I felt a sharp pain come over me. I didn't know what it was. And I told my wife, I don't feel good. I got a little nausea, dizzy. And she said, I'll go down to the and get some aspirins for you. She came up and gave me the aspirins. I laid down and I went to sleep. The next day, I told my wife, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm going to rest. Stay out of the sun. And we rested that day. The following day, I was out in the ocean snorkeling. And enjoying the beauty of God's creation. And the next day, we kind of rest a little bit, and it was closer to coming home. But the Lord kept me. I didn't realize I had an aneurysm. But the Lord kept me 2 more weeks. I came back to church and had a full week. The second week, I worked to Wednesday and Thursday, August 16. I was home, and Pastor Rosie had invited me for one of the youth lunches. So in the morning, I took my son golfing, grandson golfing. And I came back. I stopped at my daughter's house, spent a little time there. Then I came home to change to go to the luncheon. While I was preparing myself, that's when I got a real, real sharp pain over my right eye. And it went to the back of my head. And my eyes started closing. And you know, at that moment, you know something is wrong. Death was present. And the Bible said this poor man cried out. And I cried out to the Lord, because when death comes to you as a man, you only can think of your family. You don't think of your car or the house or the baseball team or the New York Yankees. No, it's not there. You think of your family. And the first thing came to me was my wife, and my daughters, and my grandkids. And I said, Lord, please don't let me die. Please. And I called my wife. And she came and took me to St. Luke's. And I was brought in, and they thought I had a stroke. So they started prepping me up for like a type of stroke. And Dr. Garcia came in. And at that moment, there was a man next to me. And he was cursing a storm loudly. And he was belittling this nurse. And I told my wife, I can't take him. I can't take this guy. My wife said, calm down. And I said, finally, I said, you devil, shut up. And he quieted down and said, Who is that? Who is it? And I didn't respond to him. I couldn't take it. He was belittling this nurse, and she's trying to take care of me. And he's over there. What a mouth. But he quieted the rest of the night down. Because we have authority over those spirits. And we can speak to those spirits. And he didn't say one more word. And then they determined that I had an aneurysm. And they took me to another room. And they rolled me over on my side. And Pastor Ron was there. And they did a spinal tap. And I think she stuck me, what, 4 times, Pastor Ron? Yeah, until she found it. Yeah. And I never had a spinal tap. But when you have a spinal tap, when they draw that back, you can feel your fluid coming down your back. And it went down my left leg. I could feel the fluid. I could feel the coming out, the spinal fluid. And then they determined there was some blood. So it indicated I had bleeding in the brain. And they decided to take me to Albany Medical. And then my daughter called me, Alexa. And she said to me, Dad, I was praying for you. And the Lord gave her this scripture. Because I believe the Lord speaks through his word. The Lord speaks through his word. And the Lord said to my oldest daughter, Jesus says, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. That's in Matthew 8:7, in New Living Translation. I will come and heal him. Remember, I told you the story about the storm. And he came to them. Jesus says to my daughter, I will come and heal him. And they kept me overnight, and the surgery was the next day at 2 p.m. The next day, 2 p.m. And while they was rolling me in to surgery, Paul was there. I sense a peace of God. The peace of God surrendering me. And as they were wheeling me in, I said, Lord, I surrender my life to you. My life belongs to you. Do as you will. I was prepared to have surgery, come home. I was prepared to go home. My heart was set. And I think surgery took 3 hours. And I came back out. And I saw Paul, Pastor Ryan, my relatives, my cousins flew in from Puerto Rico. And they were all there. One cousin runs in the room and says, he was expecting me to be all banded up, hoses all over, machines. He said, you look pretty good. Praise the Lord. It is God. It is God. So we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not lean on our own understanding. In all his ways, acknowledge him. He will direct us. I am a living proof, a testimony unto him. When I share with people, I said, I only been 9 weeks out of the hospital. I went through aneurysm, bleeding. They said, wow. Because sometimes you're paralyzed. Sometimes you have speech impediment. But praise God, I came through the storm because he brought me through. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that he is truthful. He is so real to me. He is so real. He is so real. And my eye was closed. And I looked myself in the mirror. I said, oh, man, they're going to make fun of me. And the first guy who made fun of me was Tommy. Now we're praying for his eye. Praise the Lord. But the doctor says over time, your nerves will heal and your muscles. Okay. I went to my eye doctor. He checked my eyes. I couldn't move my eye upward, downward, or left. And my pupil was open, so the light would bother me. So it was blurry, some things. I would see two of everybody. So the church always looked full when I came in. So we multiplied by two, you know. I said, it's great. These guys are doing a good job here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. But as time went by, I would get up in the morning and tell my wife, God is healing me. I can feel it. I can sense it. Every morning I would get up and say, God is healing me. Every day a little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. God is healing me. And he still is healing me. Some things I need to be healed from. The inner working of my brain. So that my eye doctor said it will take about 6 months to open. And 7 weeks. My eye open. Every day, God is healing me. And I will profess that. Every day, God is healing me. And I still stand every day. I tell my wife, God is healing me. God is healing me today. I want to share a story in the Bible. In Luke chapter 10. Verse 17. This is when Jesus sent out the 70. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. He gives you the power and the authority over the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. But in verse 20, he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read that. I said, hallelujah. You see, sometimes we get so busy doing for God, and we forget what God is doing for us. We get so wrapped in the working for God, but sometimes we don't give him glory for what he's doing for us. And God said, rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Revelation 3:5, it reads, he who overcomes shall be clothed with white garment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name to my Father and before the angels. He said, I will not blot out your name from the book of life, but I will confess. Jesus will confess your name before the Father and before the angels. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord speak to me in dreams and vision. And I had a vision one night, and I was present in the heavenly places. And as far as my eye could see, I could see white robes bowing and worshiping the throne room of God. As far as my eyes could see, white robes worshiping God. As far as my eyes could see. I did not see who was sitting on the throne. I could see the light that was present there. Then the voice says, turn, and I want you to see. And I turned and I looked. And I saw people standing. And as people come up, their whole life will be projected before them. Every word spoken, every deed that they come, everything they did in their life will flash before them. And I believe that was the place of judgment. Everything we did in our lives, even those secret things you do privately in your own life, will be flashed before you in the presence of God. Everything, every word spoken in the presence of God. Our lives will be flashed before us in that day of judgment. I believe that was a vision from the Lord. And he gave me many visions. And we're coming to a place in this world where immorality has taken over. Humanity has fallen to a low, low state. And God's calling his people to be prepared. We need to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to go out and reach those who are lost. Amen. Who are lost. I'm going to share this story. Borden and I went to lunch the other day. And we're sitting at the counter. And a man came in and sat on Borden's side. And the man had a Vietnam hat on. So Borden said, what year you serve? He said, I served from 66 to 72. I think he did 3 terms, right? Yeah. So he asked Borden, do you serve? Borden said, yes, I did. In the Korean War, in the beginning of Vietnam, and then I got out. So Borden begins to minister to him. And I can see the man getting a little agitated. Then he said, Borden, do you go what I went through? Where was your God when I was in Vietnam? I stopped believing in him in a long time ago. He said, I had to eat out of the dish, the same dish where I wash my face and bathe. And I see these kids hanging, blown up bodies. And I had to sit there and have lunch. My meals out of the same dish. Where was your God? And he would take his hot dog and rip half the bread off. And whoop, and I said, Borden, let off the gas. You know? Then he stood up. I said, uh-oh. And Borden just kept looking straight. And kept sharing the gospel to him. I could see him getting agitated. He says to us, you know, I carry a gun. And I will take anybody out. I said, Borden, it's time to go. He was serious. And he'll rip that bread off and eat that hot dog. I said, oh boy. But this man is suffering 50 years later from the war. He doesn't sleep at night, he told us. I don't sleep at night. 50 years, this man is struggling. But I'm praying to God that we're going to meet him. And we're going to minister to him. Because we said to him, we're praying for you. He said, thank you for your prayers. So that's an appointed time. That's one example. There's people suffering out there. 50 years. After 50 years, this man struggling. Struggling. God wants to reach those people and touch them. I had a wonderful doctor, Albany Medical Center. A young lady, I don't think she was over 35. If she is, she looks young. You know, she's older. Alexandra Paul. What a wonderful doctor. What a wonderful team that God provided for me. Loving people. I asked Pastor Ron one day, he was coming to see me. I said, bring me some Bibles, Pastor Ron. I will minister with the cleaning lady. And she will sit down. 15 minutes later, she's still in my room. I said, this lady's going to get fired. We're sharing the gospel, you know. The guy who brought the meals, we share about Jesus. Our ministry is where we are. Our ministry is where we are. I met a young nurse. Her uncle is head of one of the houses up in Albany. She gave me his address, wants me to connect with him. Because he runs a house up there for homeless. He gave me his address, his number, and everything. So every day, everybody who walk in that room, I got to share Jesus with them. And my worship music be on. I'll be praising God. And the nurse will come in and worship is playing. They gave me my own private room. You know? I used to go out in the hallway. And I said, doctor, can I walk around? I'm getting tired of being in that room. I got to walk around and do exercise. He said, go ahead. I'll be past the nursing station 100 times. You know, vroom, vroom. Yeah. I remember when it took me to physical therapy to walk me down. And she said, go up the step. Vroom, up the step. Down the step. Vroom. You got to go back. You're good. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what God does for us. That's what God does for us. When we put our faith in him, not doubting, just simply as a child, childlike faith. That's all he asks. He asks, just believe. That's all he says in the Bible. Just believe. That's all we have to do. Just believe. Believe. You know, we're in a win-win situation here. If I stay, I'm winning. If I go, I'm winning. I can't lose. You know, I'm going to glory land. I'm going in the presence of the Almighty God. I'm going with all the robes I saw. Hallelujah. Got to get excited about those things, church. You know? Amen. Where there's no tear, no more pain, no more sickness, no more suffering. Wow. Hallelujah. You know, your mom's up there worshiping the Lord. Because I knew your mom. Beautiful woman of God. She had carried the beauty of the Lord. Beautiful. And when she looked at you with her eyes, it was amazing. And that's our hope. Our hope isn't that for us to go there too. That's my hope is. So now I walk in a different way. Different way of life. In the newness of life for Christ. Amen. This morning in Philippians 4, it says, he will supply all my needs with his riches and glory. He supplies all our needs. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, God has a purpose for what I went through. There's a purpose, a greater purpose for that. This. Because he doesn't allow you to go through this through what you go through in life and leave you there. Because His purpose is to bring glory to His name. And wherever I go and wherever I testify of Christ, it will bring glory to His name. I got up in the middle of the night and I said, Lord, tomorrow I'm going to speak in the church. And the scripture that I read came out of the pages. He said, my Father would do the speaking by His Spirit. My Father would do the speaking through His Spirit. When we speak through His Spirit. Through His Spirit. And we testify who He is. He's a good, good Father. And we have a good, good brother in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Remember, we are traveling through, folks. Remember the day that we will stand before the Lord. We want to be in white robes. The Bible says He will confess. Hallelujah. He will confess our names to the Father and to all the angels. He will say, this is, what's his name? Doug. This is Doug. To the Father and to the angels. I'm sorry, Doug. I just had surgery. You know that, right? Praise the Lord. This is Marianne, presented to the Father and to the angels. Michelle, presented to the Father and the angels. Presented to the Father and the angels, Jenny. All of us, presented to the Father and the angels. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your goodness, Lord. That we will be strengthened within us, Father, by Your Spirit, Lord. That You will touch each one of us, Father, that we will be prepared to make the eternal journey, Father. But there's a lot of work to be done here on earth. And Father, that You set us apart. And Your word says You set us apart for Your glory and for Your honor. And this morning word was put into my heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to You, Father. That may we walk in that every day of our lives. That we may walk in that every day of our lives. When we see a sister, a brother, that we will speak words of life. The Bible said, let Your words be seasoned. Be seasoned, even with the world. Let us be those called apart for You, Father, to do Your work. For Your kingdom has truly come through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us be the John Baptist, those who are out crying out in the wilderness. Repent, for the Lord is near. And Father, we thank You that You direct us by Your Spirit this morning. We thank You for every spoken word will bring glory and honor to Your name. And I pray for a fresh anointing of Your Spirit upon Your people. Wherever they go, that's their ministry. And let them minister Your word, Father, by Your Spirit, Lord. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, I thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God.